We are going to begin. We have good news and best news. Good news and best news. The good news is that I have some printouts as a summary of what we saw last session. So, nevertheless...
Is that good or best?
That's good.
That's good. Good and best.
One for family.
Okay, let's begin with a summary of what we saw last time. And what is the title of our series?
Study the Bible.
Thank you very much. I just want to locate ourselves in the middle of this very hectic month of May. And we're close to summer, so I want to just to position ourselves. How to...
You're going to be here 4 nights.
Yes, and we have been discussing, Pastor Brock and myself, about the richness of the material I am bringing to you. And it will be a disservice to you if I just breeze, you know, over the material. It's not convenient to do that. So we will go a little slower, in depth, for 4 sessions. This is the second one. So, yes. Okay. How to study the Bible. And we said that we need, and you have in front of you the printout, this printout I distributed tonight. We said that we will study how to study the Bible in 3 different segments. 3 different segments. The first segment is the heart. And I call that the why. Why we want to study the Bible? Why? What's the purpose of studying the Bible? The second segment is the background. The who, the what, the where, and the when. Again, the who, the what, the where, and the when. And we could answer because Pastor Brock has been preaching on Revelation. So we could say in the background, who is the who? Hello?
Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we will see how, as Pastor Brock showed this morning, there is a tie, there is an arc between the Old Testament and the New Testament regarding the person of Jesus Christ. Okay. What is the what?
No.
The what?
Is our salvation.
Very good, teacher. The gospel. The salvation. Very good. The good news. Where? What is the where? Everywhere. Everywhere. In the world. And when? This is very interesting. This is a very theologically posed question.
At all
when?
Times.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Well, this is interesting. When was the moment in which your book excuse me, your name was written in the Book of Life. Don't answer me. Don't answer me. Because it's a very theological question. And I will save some of the answers to the end, for the end of this series, because we should entangle in that question perhaps for weeks. So let's just think about when was the moment in which your name was written in the Book of Life. You want to answer?
Yes.
Okay.
When I was formed in my mother's womb.
Okay, well, that is one answer, which is not incorrect. I said, which is not incorrect. But that's one answer.
I think when the world was formed.
Libby says that when the world was formed. Well, that might be correct as well. Another.
Before
time. Very good. Another answer, which is correct. Another answer.
The day you accepted Christ.
Amen.
Well, that's a good one.
Well, some say that that's the answer.
And some others
say, well, God knew that you were going to be saved.
I agree with that, yes.
Predestination.
Okay, predestination. Certain interpretation of destination is that God knew in advance that you were going to be saved.
That's because the theory of election.
Because we have free choice. Okay, but some others say, well, I don't know, because some passages in the Bible indicate that God already wrote your name
right
in the Book of Life. So
that's what I mean.
We will discuss that in Revelation, I'm sure. We will discuss that. Very good. So the method is the easiest way. It's the easiest segment. How to study the Bible. That's very easy. We will see that in one session, the last one, the fourth session, we will see the method. Today, we are going to see part of the background. But before we go to that, look at the second page in your handout, in the new handout. The approach. How do we approach the Bible? Those who are believers, and I understand that all of us are believers. And if you are not, this is a good chance to become. Okay? How do we approach the Bible? Tell me some.
With reverence.
Thank you. With reverence.
I can read it.
With reverence. 2 Timothy 3:16. Why? Because all scripture is God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. What else? How do we approach the Bible? Excuse me?
Humbleness.
Humbleness, yeah, we could say humbleness, we could say gratitude, with thanksgiving, and so forth. I agree completely. And perhaps humbleness is, it's embedded in the principle of reverence. But you're right, excuse me, good pork, sorry.
Sorry.
Next time I'm not going to eat that much, okay?
Yeah, right.
Okay, confidence. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I would love someone to read that, 1 Corinthians 1:18.
In the
Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:18. And please bring your Bible because we are going to study the Bible, okay?
We've got some Bibles, but who needs Bibles? Anybody need Bibles?
No. Well, Cora needs one.
Your mother.
Cora needs one. Okay.
All right.
Yes, please.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
Listen to that, please.
But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Stop right there. You know that many people think that we are fools tonight. Yeah. How do you waste your evening on Sunday? Are you crazy?
It's a rest.
Are you fool? Because they don't understand and they cannot discern spiritually that we are being what?
Fed.
From the Bible, not from me, from the Bible, from the Word of God. We are being fed in order to become what?
Mature.
In order to do what? Know Him better. Why is that? Why is that important? Because He's near. He's near. Excuse me, Jolene?
We want to be able to share.
And we want to share with knowledge and wisdom. Very good. So, confidence, eagerness. This is very nice. Acts 17:11b. Please read the whole verse. 17:11. This is very nice.
These Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Amen. Amen. You know, another question is, when is that you should be studying the Bible or reflecting upon the Bible?
Every single day.
Amen. It is not only on Sunday. We will get some atrophy of the spiritual muscle we have in our heart. Eagerness, expectation. Isaiah 55:11. I love this verse. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. Isaiah 55:11.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and
Amen.
Prosper in the thing for which I was sent.
Amen. So the word of God will not return to him how?
Empty
or void. Why? Because it will return with our response, either positive or negative. Can you read that in your version, Yolanda?
So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Amen. We approach the Bible with prayer. Let's read 1 Timothy 4, 4-5, please. 1 Timothy 4, 4-5.
For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused.
Amen. We are sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. We were forgetting that one of the purposes to be sanctified by His Word, by meditating, and very important, look at this, the last point in the approach, by application. Let's read James 1:22. Please. 22. James 1:22. Very simple.
But be doers of the word.
Be doers of the word.
And not hearers only.
And not listeners only.
Deceiving yourselves.
You are cheating yourself if you just listen. What else?
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror.
Right.
For he observes himself and he goes away, and at once forgets what he has like, what is like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing.
We should be called the doers of the Speedway Church.
Mm-hmm.
By what you are doing, not only on a fresh night, how do you say that? Fried fresh night, but
fish
on
fry.
The
fish
on the what's the name of the giving away clothing?
Daisy's Closet.
Daisy's Closet and some other things.
This morning, mow the lawn.
Amen. Did they know that what you have committed as a church for Colombia?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's the doers. Amen. Now, the third sheet of paper, the third page, the heart. We're making a summary. The purpose.
I just love that word application.
Yes.
I never thought of using that, but I know what it means, of course. It's sharing it. It's so clear to us that we have to apply all of this prior to getting in.
You were talking about this morning about going to before the throne of God. We were discussing that with Livy, I guess. And everyone will be accountable.
Everyone.
They say that those who are lost for condemnation and those who are saved for commendation. Even if you did little, you will be commended. Very positive, huh?
If you did it to glorify him.
Yes, right.
Sure. Very good. So the heart, the why, the purpose. Why is that we are studying the Bible? Well, because we find there the truth, and the Bible is the truth. With what purpose? To know God, to know Christ better. John 17:17b. Your word is truth. We're not going to see the verses in order to move quickly. Your word is truth. Second, food. To be nourished and become what?
Mature.
Matthew 4:4. What does it say? Man does not live of bread alone, but what? Amen. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for whom?
Mature.
So we are still drinking milk? Well, yes. But we are beginning to taste good food with the preaching of Revelation. Life. The Bible is life. To live forever. John 6:68b. You have the words of eternal life. Who said that?
Jesus.
Nope. Go to that verse. It's interesting. John 6:68. You have words of eternal life. To whom we will go, Lord? You're the only one who has words of eternal life. Yes, it was Peter. They say that this one, and the assertion of Martha, when Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, are the two biggest assertions about the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Messiah. So you can underline that one. This is a big, big assertion about Jesus Christ as the Messiah in the New Testament, the Gospels. The Bible is lamp to be guided. Psalm 119:105. I believe that particular verse was taught to us when we were toddlers. What does it say? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And it is equipment to do God's works. 2 Timothy 3:17. We have to read the whole verse, please. 2 Timothy 3:17.
So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Did you know that those works have been prepared in advance for us? So they offer to us in silver plates. We don't have to really figure it out. My teacher here was talking about retirement, and she said, well, I know that the Lord is going to pass a silver plate for my destiny as a retired teacher. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So he already prepared these seeds of works for us in advance. It's just a matter of doing it.
Right. I have a question. Isn't the man of God referring to Jesus Christ?
Excuse me, the question is?
Isn't the man of God referring to Jesus Christ?
Nope.
That's us.
It is us.
Personally, us.
The men and women of God. Yes. Yes. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, next page, please. Continuing with the heart, the why, the purpose. The Bible is a weapon. And let me tell you, we better get equipped. Because I was telling Brock that I sense that the devil is sensing that soon he will be sent to the eternal lake of fire and sulfur. And he's in a rush. He is in a rush, trying to cheat. How do you say the similar word? Cheat and in English?
Deceive.
Thank you very much. Deceive those who are not anchored in the word.
In the word, exactly.
Those who are not anchored in the word. And it's so easy. Just listen to the radio. Just listen to the different economic, financial prophets. Listen to them. It's
scary.
It's there. It's well, let me tell you. I was saying that I am not afraid of the devil. I am afraid of the world, yes. And I am afraid of my own nature. But Satan, which happens to be a real personality, is in a rush. And the war is all out. I was reading some of the comments of Franklin Graham, you know, when he was rejected as the person for the National Day of Prayer. And he said, well, this might be the beginning of an era of persecution for the church in the United States. So I'm glad that we are anchoring our lives in the Word, because then we will not be deceived. Then we will be encouraged. Then we will be stronger. Then we will be mature to resist the attacks of the devil. Can I share with you a very personal thing?
Please.
You know, I went to Mexico to a exhibition. This is interesting. And
when was this?
This was about 3 weeks ago. And you know, they had this very, let me call it correctly, very well-dressed and beautiful young females. And in particular, there was one of them who fixed her eyes on me. I was surprised because, you know, I am an old guy. She was like 25, 26. And she even came and she is not you know, a cool girl. She was a professional. She gave me her card with her phone. I was really surprised. And I took the card and I looked at her, and my flesh really trembled. So I took the car, and instead of saying, well, no, thank you, I put it in my pocket. So when we had a dinner with a person who handles this kind of organizations and events, I said, well, let me recommend to you this person. And I gave the car, and to be honest, I gave it reluctantly. What I am saying is that God is really God is really putting us to the test.
He's testing us.
He is testing us. Because I was so surprised. I mean, and you know, I remember that verse which says that the devil is going to appear as an angel of light.
She was an angel.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, don't be surprised. That's the world we are facing. Am I right, brother?
Temptation comes in so
many ways. I mean, from nowhere. I was there, you know, alone, and surprised. So,
Ariel, can I correct one thing?
Yes.
You're
not alone.
You were not alone.
Yeah, I was not alone. Yes, ma'am.
When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, lead us not into temptation.
Well, deliver us from evil.
But why does God want to test us?
A bit far?
To see how strong we are.
Mm-hmm. A bit far?
She wants to know why the Lord tests us, to see how strong we are.
Well, he's refining us. Remember, he is putting us through fire. I think it was easy. Difficult when you are in the middle of financial crisis. Difficult when you lose your job. Difficult when a child of yours dies. But he's going, in terms of the temptations, he's going to give us the exit. Remember that?
James says.
And
no
secondly,
temptation.
And secondly, he's going to allow Satan to tempt us not beyond our own strength. So we will be ready to resist temptation.
So you gave you a way to get rid of that number.
Yeah, I think
you might not want to, but he gave you a way. Yeah, it was your choice.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Would you have had the temptation as much if your wife was with you?
She has been present many times, okay. And she prays for my salvation. She told me the other day, I pray for your salvation. Anyhow, well, that was your thing. And I'm angry. Did you know that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword?
Yes.
And in Revelation, Pastor Brock read this one. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. From what mouth? From whom's mouth? Who is he?
Jesus.
God.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Very good. So much for the heart. Any questions about the heart? The core? Okay.
I just have one thing I put in my Bible, and it says, God never tempts us. Satan tempts us, but God never tempts us. But it's how we act upon temptation that is the sin.
How do we act upon temptation?
That's
either we come out victorious or sinning. Very good. Well, I have the following. This one. Here. Pastor Brock, how many there are there?
You said 12.
Yes, excellent. Okay. We have here a very nice material from UBC Baptist Church. They allow me to make a copy. This one is posted in the due to the generosity and work of God. Is posted in the website of the Speedway Church. So, please. Okay, let me go over this piece, which is very, very interesting. The Holy Bible, the most amazing book on the earth. Second page. And look at the bottom phrase in that second page. Would you be so kind to read it, please?
How do we know the Bible really is the Word of God?
How do we know the Bible really is the Word of God? Don't read in advance. Tell me your thoughts.
Because it is the truth.
Okay, and how do we know that it is the truth?
Because nobody has proven anything in it to be false.
Very good, teacher. Very good. She's sharp tonight. Mm-hmm. Woo!
She had a good dinner.
Very good. Well, it says the Bible's own claim more than 2,000 times. This is the next page. The Old Testament writers, prophets, preface their words with a declaration of their divine source. Also, Paul to Timothy is telling him that all scripture is what?
God-breathed.
Paul referred the use advantage. You can read this at home. Romans 3:2. Paul to the Ephesian elders. Peter referring the Old Testament. Peter referring Paul's writing. Jesus' own words about the scriptures. Let's read Matthew 5, 17, 18, please. Matthew 5, 17, 18.
Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Amen. He came to accomplish, to fulfill the law. So that's the claim of Jesus. Next page, please. Another proof about the fact that the Bible really is the Word of God is the Bible's amazing composition. How many books?
66.
Written over a period of how many years?
15.
Written over how many generations?
40.
How many authors?
Dozens.
Several dozen authors. And from different places and circumstances. In what languages?
Aramaic.
Oh, yeah.
Arabic. Roman.
Hebrew and? Pastor Brock?
English.
Hebrew, Aramaic, and?
Greek.
Okay. Remember, Aramaic, first Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Regarding numerous controversial subjects, one of them is, why am I here on the earth? That's a controversial issue. If not controversial, a very puzzling issue. What's the purpose of my life?
Glorify God.
Have you heard?
You did? That's it.
Glorify God.
Well, yeah, we answer like our profession of faith to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Very good.
That's the catechism.
That's the catechism. One. Okay. In the next page, the Bible amazing composition. One, overachieving structure in two parts. What are those two parts?
Old
and New Testament. All zooming in on one person. Who is the person?
Jesus.
The person and work of Jesus Christ. God in human flesh. Savior of the world and the Lord of our lives. What is the consistent story of or theme? Very good, Libby. You are sharp tonight. You read it before. God's plan of redemption for mankind. Now, the Bible's transforming power. I thought that you were going to say that as proof that the Bible is God's Word. The Bible really is the Word of God. The Bible's transforming power. Who has read the Bible and studied the Bible is not transformed. I want to know you. Who has read and studied the Bible? Not just browse the Bible. Many browse the Bible.
Even those who are atheists.
Even the atheists.
They were. But we have known so many people that know their Bible, or were Christians, and have so turned away from it.
Well, the thing is that...
Even House.
Excuse me?
Even House. Dr. House.
Oh.
We don't watch it. Nobody watches it.
I watch it.
It turns out he's reading this book in secret. And they know it's a secret book. They want to get something out of that he's doing that nobody knows about. Because the cover is supposed to be a 600-page book. And it says, turns out to be the sermons that his father had preached. And he is so far from believing in God and his thinking that he's looking into his father's sermons to see what is there.
Well, I can go one better.
Finally,
C.S. Lewis.
I'm so excited about this.
Sure. We can say anything.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
One better is C.S. Lewis. This man was like totally
absolutely
not
right, Sharon.
Believing.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Believing anything. And was so transformed and created all of these awesome books.
Yes. But what about the people that are such believers?
They fall away.
They fall away. I mean, we have a friend that was a devoted Christian that is now in a Baha'i faith. How do you go from this?
Is he dead?
To that?
He will come back.
Debbie.
He will come back. Excuse me. This is important because...
the way you were brought up.
Yeah, yeah. If you really believe in Jesus Christ, in his redeeming death and resurrection, even if you struggle with your non-believing mind, you will be rescued. Remember that salvation cannot be lost. So... But even unless, you know, he commits, what is the unforgiven sin?
Suicide.
No?
No, he blasphemes God.
Yeah. Wow. That he says some things are not from God or vice versa. Only that they are not from the Spirit. Or the things of the Spirit are from the evil. But besides that, Debbie, I would be concerned. I would be praying for him. But if he was a believer, he will be redeemed, in spite of his transit through cults and false teachings. You were going to say something, Rick? No? Anybody? Yes.
That's one thing that sets Presbyterians. I've been a Presbyterian all my life, and I still am. Right, Rob?
Amen, sister.
Amen, I am with you.
So is the pastor.
We believe that once saved, always saved.
Amen.
So back to Debbie. I don't believe, I mean, who am I to say what to believe? But once you, as you say, if you've ever accepted Christ, you're not going to ever deny him. If you've truly accepted him, that's Presbyterianism. I don't think it's...
But his anger could be so bad. His whatever has happened in his life had brought him down so low, and it's a wonderful, joyous playground for Satan. But there will be something that happens that will make him realize this is not my life.
Okay. Yeah, we will discuss that more. Fritz?
I'm just going to say that some people accept them intelligently, not by their heart.
Right.
And that's the big difference.
Well, that's another possibility, Debbie, don't you think? That intellectually, he can even memorize the Bible. He can even answer you with a verse regarding a certain situation.
We watched one children that I'm thinking of specifically. We watched him be in the same position that Bob and I were, where we were believers but not committed believers, to really having a life-changing experience. And now he's totally... drawn away from all of it. In fact, he's further away than he was when we were friends 35 years ago. And it's just interesting. I mean, they're the ones that led us to the Lord. And you're thinking of, you know, how does that happen? You just wonder, how does that happen?
You know, there are only two people who know the truth. Yes. So we cannot judge. We can speculate right now a lot, but only he and God know the truth. Am I really a believer or not?
It destroyed his family. I mean, it tore his family apart. He told his wife one time. He said, "You are so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly use to me." Can you imagine?
Well, let me tell you one thing. I am not afraid of those people like the one you described. I am afraid of the false teachers and the false preachers. Of those I am afraid. Those who misguide the people of God, and especially the weak, you know, the non-mature.
Yeah.
I am more afraid of those. I was going to ask Pastor Brock about this gentleman, Osteen.
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen.
Osteen.
Osteen. I don't know. I listened to him once. And he has a powerful, powerful preaching.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And he's charismatic. I mean, the guy is tremendous. He smiles and he conquers.
Last Sunday we had our, you know, we sponsored a church in Cali. It's one of our missions. And we had the pastor, he had an interpreter with him, to be our guest speaker last week. And he told us so many false prophets are there in Cali.
Yeah.
That's what he's got to
prosperity,
be.
Prosperity gospel.
Remember that?
The gospel of prosperity.
Yeah.
Well, again, how can we know?
Doesn't the Bible teach us that the angels in heaven rejoice when one who is lost is brought back?
Yes.
So there's hope, but that's consistent prayer also. And some theologians talk about greater grace, and we could get heavy on that, greater grace. But the greater grace is when they make the mistake and come back, because it takes greater grace to bring them back and accept it. But anything is possible under God's auspices.
Did you notice that I asked, is he dead? Mm. No, he's not. So there is hope, as long as you pray for him. And,
but isn't that what the parable of the prodigal son is about?
That's one.
Absolutely.
That's one. Yes, indeed. Very good.
Debbie, you can rest assured that God hasn't given up on you, friend.
I know that. But in our humanity, we want an explanation. You know, it doesn't make sense, does it?
You just wonder what happened.
What happened so far away.
Did you ever ask him?
Oh, he's turned away from anybody that is still religious. We're too religious.
Yes, but he still has to deal with his father. Unresolved.
You pray, and we will know. When? If he's not there. Very good. The Bible's transforming power. Individual lives have been positively affected. Whole cultures have been positively affected. The experience of men and women throughout the age, it seems, to prove that no person, people have ever risen above their view of the Holy Scriptures. Now, another proof that the Bible is the Word of God is the Bible's miraculous preservation. No other book in all of history has ever been more targeted for annihilation. Who were the first who tried to destroy this?
The Romans and Sadducees.
Even before, yes. Probably the Egyptians, but for sure the Chaldeans. Mm-hmm. Remember? When they conquered Babylon, when they conquered Jerusalem, they began to destroy everything about it.
Who were the Chaldeans?
Bibles have been banned, burned, outlawed. Bible translators have been executed. Bible owners have been persecuted. It has been philosophical attacked and maligned by critics who hate its message. And yet, each new generation of Christians proves the Bible's power to endure. And our mission is to train our grandchildren and children in the Word of God. The Bible's tremendous circulation, read by more people, published in more languages. Do you know that it's the number one book in terms of the people who have read it all over the world? Published in more languages than any other book in history, hundreds of millions of copies in part and in whole are printed annually and distributed throughout the world. But, next page, similar claims are made by followers of other religions about their own texts. And you can see there, even the Quran for the Muslims. What is the difference? Next page. Please read Deuteronomy 18:21. What's the difference? And we are getting close to the acid test of the Bible. The acid test of the Bible. What's the difference? Deuteronomy 18:21. Please.
You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken.
Amen. And the previous verse.
You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message...
Listen to these, please.
How can we know when a message has not been spoken of the Lord? And then he read, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him.
And those who were false prophets were what? Stoned. We're talking about that. They were stoned. So they better be careful when they say the Lord says. Oh my goodness. Because it didn't happen, they were stoned. So the acid test is what? And you have it in the next page. The fulfillment of prophecies. The fulfillment of prophecies. More than 25% of the scriptures touch on the prophetic regarding the nation of Israel, other nations, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, and future events surrounding the end of this world. And Pastor Brock has committed to tackle one of the most difficult books in the Bible.
And really the last prophecy.
And the last prophecy, yeah. Why is it one of the most difficult books in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Pastor is not going to say.
It's hard to comprehend a lot of it because it's hard to associate a lot of what it's saying is going to happen to what may have or what will happen. So it's a little bit difficult to understand some of the wording of it. And which is actually real, or which is actually
metaphorical.
Exactly, metaphorical.
Yeah, that's
it's hard to distinguish.
Joanne just said. What did you just say? Joel?
Symbolism.
Symbolism. It's symbolic, it's metaphorical. What are the dangers of studying Revelation?
Interpretation.
How come? Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, to understand really what those symbols were, we were told this morning that they were to confuse a lot of people who didn't know the Bible or the Word, and that those that did know the Old Testament understood what the symbolisms really were about. So this could be a confusion that we could be running into. And we're going, what are they talking about?
Yeah, many commentators, you know, a lot of people think John was on some hallucinogenic journey when he saw all this stuff. And but others are absolutely astounded at how gifted he was in his writing. And what they say is he knew the Romans, well, he was there because of Domitian, who was the Caesar of the time, who was, you know, putting away everybody that wouldn't honor him as a god. So that's why he was on the island of Patmos. So in his writings, he chose symbols that only the Jewish historians who knew the word of God from before would understand the symbolism. The Romans couldn't possibly understand it. So down through the centuries, many people don't really understand all of the symbolism that John was employing. Therefore, interpretation, interpretation, interpretation. So is there any finite decision short of heaven? No way.
No.
But is it the surety of what lays ahead?
Yes.
You dad come right there. Is.
Yes. And now the danger is to begin to put dates and personify the characters in Revelation. So when you begin to, as the teacher says, interpret on your own judgment, that's a danger. We know that, and I said, Pastor Brock has tackle or committed to tackle this because we need to be aware of the signs. There are signs. Do you remember what sign Christ told the Pharisees? The only one he told them? The sign of Jonah. You remember Jonah, our friend Jonah?
Yes.
3 days in the death. That was the only sign he told them. There were many. But specifically, he said, the only sign I'm going to refer to is the sign of Jonah. And they should have understood. They didn't understand. You don't want to see. Somebody was, yes.
Speaking of symbolism, the first question I ever asked you 2 or 3 years ago was, Jonah, was that symbolism? Jonah and oil? No, that oil was really in the way.
It was not a whale. It was a big fish.
That wasn't symbolism.
No, but not symbolism. I didn't say it's symbolism.
No,
it was
no.
A true
yeah.
fish.
You corrected me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. And secondly, that was the only spoken sign that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. But nevertheless, the point is this. We don't know the times. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the end of times? When he was asked? What did he say? Excuse me?
No one knows but the Father.
That's right. Not even the Son knows when the end will happen. So it's dangerous when you begin to say, well, like Nostradamus, remember Nostradamus? And begin to say, and the calculations, and the Da Vinci Code, and all this. You know what? That's ridiculous. That's foolishness.
That book was evil.
Yes.
Well, it's like we've been hearing, excuse me, in 2012, that is the end of the Mayan calendar. And I've heard people say the world will end then, which, you know, we know no one knows that.
No one knows.
Nope, not even Jesus.
Not even, but Jesus the man.
Yeah.
I know that Jesus in the Trinity, Christ in the Trinity knows because he's one with God.
But
Jesus
really,
the man.
Yeah, really what it says is life as we know it.
It is not for you to know it.
No.
And, well, that takes us to what? What we are called to do if we don't know.
Believe.
What do you think?
To believe. Study.
Okay, one, believe. Second?
To live every day as if it's our last.
Good. Mm-hmm. Say it loudly.
Well, I lose my voice at night. To live every day as though it's our last day.
As it could very well be.
Could be tonight.
Are
you ready?
Come, Lord, come.
Are you prepared? And prepare means, among some of the things, to have asked forgiveness and to forgive. Forgive, that's more difficult than to ask for forgiveness. Much more difficult to forgive than to ask for forgiveness. Are we ready? Well, that's why we are here. I mentioned to you this anecdote from an elder in my former church in Mexico. Very, very godly man, really. His testimony was powerful. And he said the following. He said, I hope that you kids, because we were kids, when the Lord comes, you won't be in the movies.
you
won't be in the movies. He was an old holy man, really. Very good. Hundreds of biblical prophecies have already been fulfilled. By chance? No. Look at this. Unique among all books ever written, the Bible accurately foretells specific events in detail many years, sometimes centuries before they occur. Approximately 2,500 prophecies appear in the pages of the Bible. Listen to this. About 2,000 of which already have been fulfilled to the letter. No mistakes. How many are left? We have a long way to go, but it's coming fast. Next page. There are a few. Oh, my goodness. We're all there. There are a few. I would like you to take these to your home and read past the next page and go to next to the last one at the top. Sometime before 500 BC, the prophet Daniel proclaimed that Israel's long-awaited Messiah would begin his public ministry 483 years after the issue of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. We didn't touch that in our study of Daniel. So now you are going to know more about Daniel. Study that, okay? And the final page. We cannot say the Bible is just a good piece of literature. Either the Bible really is the Word of God, or it is a collection of the most extravagant and preposterous lies in all human history. Amen. No middle terms. And before we leave, this is homework, okay?
Are you a dog ear or a kid?
No,
a dog ear book.
A dog ear.
I do too.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Please read it. It's very rich. And in spite of myself, I'm going to give it mine. In spite of myself amplifying the size of the letter, still it's small. But just look at the first page, okay? All outline of setting of studies of the Bible. Seven editions of the divine law. Which one is your favorite?
Psalms.
Number six, written on your heart. Amen. Don't forget next time, please bring your cheat sheet, because we are going to use it to break down the Bible. Very good.
God bless.
Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, with humbleness, as our sister said, we approach your Bible. Father, we recognize that it is your written word. But at the same time, Father, we recognize that it's our beacon, our lamp, that it is our weapon, that it is life to be with you for eternity. Father, give us discernment and give us wisdom and give us the strength to have nourishment every day from it. Father, now be with us going to our homes, be with our work and our things during the week, and bless our children and grandchildren. We pray for that person that Debbie mentioned. We pray really in our heart that you will call him and he will come back. We pray for him and for his family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Next time.